Awesome. I love that. It gets me so excited about Christmas. Let us worship Christ, the hope, the joy, the peace, and the love of Christmas. Last week we talked about the peace and the joy of Christmas. Really all four of these are just completely intertwined together. You really can't have one without the other. We talked about that joy and peace that Christ brings. And last week I felt about how I felt last week, but not with a smiley face. Somebody gave this to me last week. Isn't that so sweet? So, all of my kiddos, here it is. Y'all can pay attention. I'm showing you the poop emoji this week. If you were not here 2 weeks ago, one of my sweet 10-year-olds told me that all of her friends paid attention when I said the word poop emoji. So, I'm just starting every sermon now with poop emoji so that all of them will listen and get out of it all you can. My wife asked, can adults wear pajamas next week? And my answer is, just don't be a distraction. That's all I can tell you. So, no... Yeah, just leave it at that. Just know we don't need a angel's fashion show, all right? So if you feel led to do that, you just, you know, be careful. That'll get to y'all, some of y'all, in just a minute. I got to wake y'all up. Y'all seem a little dead. It's a little cold outside, a little warm in here. I got to make sure y'all are awake. So there you go. Victoria's Secret and poop emoji within 2 minutes of my sermon. You don't get much better than that on a cold Sunday morning. If you have a copy of God's Word, would you turn to Isaiah chapter number 9. You need to hold your Bible up. We're going to look at several passages in the book of Isaiah. As you're turning there, I want just to help you understand, kind of get the idea of what we're talking about in this series of why we worship Christ, the joy and the peace of Christmas we talked about last year. And for some people, we talk about this, it's the most wonderful time of the year. That great, that's one of my favorite Christmas songs. It's the most wonderful time of the year. But for some people, in this room, and for others, especially outside of this room, it is not the most wonderful time of the year. In fact, it's the exact opposite. It is a difficult time of year. It's a hard time of the year. It's a time of the year where people are experiencing first. There's loss. There's difficulties. And for those who don't know Christ, there is not much hope. Because we all know the truth is Christmas will come and it will go. Gifts will be opened and they will be forgotten. Is that all that Christmas is about? And it leads us to this idea of the word darkness. So I'll just to illustrate my point, Michael, if you just take the house lights down for a minute, just hang on to where you are in your Bible. All the lights out for just a minute. We'll leave the green ones on. It won't be completely dark in here because of the nice bright screens and the nice bright lights. Can we make the screens go black for a second? Those put out a lot of light. That's amazing. Darkness. Darkness in our world is somewhat, obviously, necessary. You have to have dark so you can sleep. But if you've been in places of the world, and I've talked with Chris Robbins about it before, he lived in Alaska for a while, there were parts of the year where the sun was only out 5 or 6 hours a day. Darkness. When you think about the world in which we live in, there are many people that live in darkness. And we come to a season and a time where it seems to be the exact opposite. And in fact, it is. But sometimes the darkness seems to overwhelm the light. In the book of Isaiah, we read an incredible part of Scripture that reminds us about the darkness. That it does exist. And in Isaiah's day, he was prophesying that there was darkness to come on the nation of Israel. We read at the end of the Old Testament, the last prophet, and there was some 450 years of what we call darkness. There was no word from God. The nation had returned back from exile, but things were not going. Now there was Roman occupation. Things were not going very well. There was darkness in the land. But we read in Isaiah where something changes. In the middle of darkness, in the middle of difficulties, we find that I can't operate a lighter. That's what we find. There it is. We find something extraordinary. And though it is not very bright, and next week we'll do one of our favorite services of the year where we do candlelight. I love it. Because we'll start in a room that's completely dark. And the light begins to illuminate. And so sometimes in a world in which we live of great darkness, we must be reminded there is a light. And Isaiah reminded his people, even in the middle of darkness, there is a light because there is always hope because we serve a living God. In Isaiah chapter 9, beginning in verse number 2, look on the screens with me if you will. Those people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation, you shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence as with the gladness of the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. You shall break the yoke of their burden and the staff of their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, as at the battle of Midian. For every boot of the booted warrior in the battle tumult and the cloak rolled in blood will be for burning fuel for the fire. For a child will be born unto us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Father, I pray this morning that the light would pierce the darkness. For any soul that may be here this morning who has never found the hope in Jesus Christ, that before they leave this room, they would find that hope that only you can bring in relationship with your Son Jesus. For those that are followers of Christ who find this season so hard and so difficult and so dark, that God, that this morning you would remind them of the hope of Christmas and the light that it brings and the promise that it brings. And for those of us, Lord, who are walking in that light, it's not a time of darkness. We'll be reminded of those, not only in this building, but those around us who walk in darkness and they have not seen the light. That we be reminded of our call to be a light, a city set on a hill that must not be hidden. That our light would shine so they could see our Father in heaven and come to know you. Lord, would you speak through these words this morning and bring hope, I pray, to each heart and soul that is here. In Jesus' name, amen. You can bring those lights back up. Let's talk about darkness, though, this morning. And I want to contrast these two quickly this morning and talk about this idea of darkness, what it means. In Isaiah chapter 60, verse number 2, look at this one verse it says here in Isaiah chapter 60, verse number 2. Look at verse number 2. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and a deep darkness the peoples. I don't know about you, but there are times in life where there seems to be seasons of darkness, times where it seems darker than others. Certainly in the time of Isaiah with the impending doom of the Babylonians coming, that things were going to be different. They had been told over and over again, you need to return to the Lord, you need to do that which God has called you to do. But they refused, and they were rebellious, and they were unrepentant. And Isaiah says, then this is what's going to occur. But in the middle of darkness, remember there is a light. Let us talk about what darkness does, for darkness destroys. Darkness destroys. I didn't finish what Chris was living in Alaska. The darkness causes a lot of things in people's lives when they live in constant darkness. Look at these four. We find them in the story. We find them in the story of Christmas. We find them in the story of our lives. First of all, on your outline, darkness brings despair and depression. Darkness can bring great despair and great depression. Darkness destroys. Why? Because in the darkness, sometimes we make decisions that are not accurate and are not correct because we're living in the darkness. Darkness brings despair. If you're in a place that's dark long enough, whether it's a physical darkness or whether it is a place of emotional or mental darkness, when you live there long enough, it can bring you to a sense of despair. Some of us might be at that place this morning. We feel as if we get in a hole we cannot get out. It becomes a tunnel or a maze we cannot find our way out of. And thus it brings despair and hopelessness. The darkness brings those things. And ultimately, if we can't seem to move past the despair, then many times it even moves into depression. And let me free you up. Sometimes people say, well, Christians ought not be depressed. You have too much to be happy about. I don't think that's a true statement in the sense that, yes, we have a lot to rejoice about. But there are seasons of our lives sometimes we get to the place of despair and even depression because we live in darkness. And we'll talk about the promise in a moment, but just think about for a moment that darkness. It becomes a vicious cycle. It seems like it will never end. There is no light. There is no hope. Don't you think for some moments in Mary and Joseph's life, there was a sense of despair? I'm pregnant. I'm not married. What a ruin for me. The one thing I wanted to do and be is now ruined. It's a mess. And then after things get a little bit better and the angel tells the truth of the story, now she's got to go 9 months pregnant to Bethlehem with no room in an inn. She goes into has to have a baby in a manger where you feed animals. There's poop. It's just an awful place to be. And this is it, the birthplace of the Savior. I think Mary understood a little bit about what despair might seem like in some ways. I don't know where you are this morning, but I know that sin also brings despair. Because we're left up to our own devices to try to find the light. We're left up to our own ways to try to make things better and try to make light in the darkness. And we can for sometimes a small season, but it doesn't last. Again, it's a holly jolly Christmas rather than joy to the world. Darkness brings despair and depression. Secondly, notice this, darkness brings distortion. Darkness brings distortion. You know, as a child, and even for helping your children, sometimes they'll wake up or they can't go to sleep and they'll see things in their room, right, in the darkness, and they seem to make shapes and images and look like something that it's really not, right? And you'll come in the room, you'll say, what do you tell them? That's not really there, but they don't believe you. So you have to eventually, what do you have to do? You have to turn on what? A light. And say, that's not really what you thought that was, right? We hear things in the darkness. Things are distorted because we can't clearly see. Sometimes we don't have the whole story, the whole picture of what God is doing. Just like Mary and Joseph didn't have the whole story. And so as a result, the darkness can bring distortion. Things are not clear. Things are not exactly like we understand them to really be. But I want you to notice something, though, and there's a great danger in the darkness. The longer we stay in the darkness, the more comfortable we can become. We become content with the darkness. This is all there is. This is all I can have. This is all my life is going to be. But the problem is that sin brings distortion, doesn't present the real picture. In fact, it promises something that it can never deliver. Darkness promises safety. It promises isolation. It promises nobody to bother you and be in your life. We all know where that leads. It leads to despair and depression because that's not how God wired us to be. So darkness can bring despair and depression. Darkness can distort. Thirdly, notice this. Darkness brings defeat. If we choose to stay in the darkness, it ultimately brings defeat. That's what darkness is. It's a place of defeat. It always says it will bring the opposite. It will bring victory, but in the end, it might for a season, but in the end, it will only bring defeat. Because we're only seeing distortion, and it brings us once again back to the place of despair and depression because we're never meant to be in the darkness. And lastly, darkness brings death. Darkness is an illustration, is a symbol of what we would talk about death. The place that, and the thing that makes people the most afraid of anything else. If you leave something in the dark long enough, if you leave a plant in the dark with no sunlight, outside of a very few species, they will die. They have to have the sunlight to live. If we choose to live in the darkness, we will die a spiritual death. It may not be a physical one initially, but we will live a spiritual death that God never intended. Darkness, not a very fun subject to talk about, but one that we need to mention and we need to be aware of because it is the opposite of hope is darkness. But the great news of Christmas, no matter what kind of darkness you may find yourself in, no matter what kind of darkness you have to walk into this Christmas season, there is hope. And the hope is not found in a holly jolly Christmas. Right? And listen to me, hope is not found in family at Christmas. That's not the hope that Jesus promises. Hey, good news, the hope is you get together with your family, have a really good meal, Santa comes, and everybody is filled with hope and happiness. If that were the case, then counselors' offices would not be jammed in January, needing counsel over the awful family encounters that occur over the Christmas and New Year's break. Domestic violence goes through the roof. Police officers, you would think Christmas Eve, Matt and Jacob, some of you guys, would be quiet. It's silent night. All is calm, all is bright. But it doesn't turn out that way, does it, guys? So what do we do? Where do we find the hope of Christmas? We find it in the light. Eugene Peterson says this statement in his book, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, says this statement. Hoping does not mean doing nothing. It is the opposite of desperate and panicky manipulations of scurrying and worrying. And hoping is not dreaming either. It is no spinning of an illusion or fantasy to protect us from boredom or pain. It means a confident, alert expectation that God will do what He said He will do. It is imagination put in the harness of faith and a willingness to let God do it in His time and in His way. Though darkness destroys, the light lives. And it brings these things. Number one, where darkness brought despair, light brings hope. It brings the exact opposite. It brings hope. It brings hope. We find it in two scriptures here. Let's jump back if we can, Michael, back to the scripture there, Isaiah chapter 60. Let's look back there quickly for just a moment. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth. He said that was going to happen, but there was a light. And deep darkness the peoples, but the Lord will rise upon you, and His glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes round about and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons will come from afar, and your daughters will be carried in their arms. Then you will see and be radiant, and your heart will be thrilled and rejoice. Because of the abundance of the sea will be turned to you. The wealth of the nations will come to you. One of the promises that He makes in Isaiah chapter 42, verse number 1 through 6 says this. Look, behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry out or raise his voice nor make his voice heard in the street. I love this verse 3. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not be disheartened or crushed. We're talking about the Messiah here, the Savior. Until He's established justice in the earth, and the coastlands will wait expectantly for His law. Thus God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you. And I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations. I love that verse number 3. A bruised reed he will not break, and a candle he will not extinguish, an ember. Folks, sometimes in our lives when we find ourselves in those places of darkness and despair and where things can be distorted, guess what? We're like that candle, that wick is just barely burning. We're like that bruised reed and that's been blowing in the wind, is just barely hanging on. And God says, I will not extinguish that light. You may feel like you are barely holding on, but listen to me, good news, you're not the one holding on. Jesus is holding on to you. Good news, here's the hope. It's not about how hard you can hang on. It's about how hard He hangs on. You may feel like my light is going to go out. I just can't do it anymore. And God says, well, great, because that's where I come in. That's where I take over. And I'll take care of you. And I will hold you by the hand. And I will give you the one thing you need the most. And it's hope. What does our world need more than anything else is hope. And what brings hope? Knowing that what we believe is true. What brought the nation of Israel hope in the middle of darkness and judgment? What brings us hope in America today facing billions of people who have yet to hear the gospel? An increasing, growing hostility to the gospel, not only around the world, but even right here in America. What are we to do? We are to cling to the hope and the promise of what Jesus said is true. that Emmanuel has come, God with us. What brought hope to Mary and Joseph on those difficult days and nights was the word hope. The promised one that had been prophesied for generations was finally going to come, and his coming would change everything. You know also why it brings hope? Because here's the great news. It doesn't depend on you or me. Nobody is too bad to not get God's grace, and nobody is too good to think they can earn it. The Bible says it is by the grace of God that you have been saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. So here's the good news this morning. You're not too bad to earn God's grace. And if you think that you're too good and that you've earned it, good news for you, you haven't earned it either. Because it's all about God's grace. And that's why it's hope. It's not based on what you do or who you are. It's based on what he did on your behalf and on mine. It means that my past doesn't matter. It doesn't define me. It means my fear isn't fatal. My failures aren't final. And my present doesn't prevent me from getting to Jesus. The great news of Christmas, the hope of Christmas is God initiates the relationship. God sends his son. We didn't ask him to send his son. He did it on our behalf. He knew what we needed. We needed hope. We needed something to live for far beyond ourselves, far beyond this world of darkness, far beyond the circumstances of your life and mine. He said he knew we'd need hope. And that's what hope brings. And he came to die a sinner's death for you and for me. What propelled Joseph and Mary forward? What hope the shepherds experienced that night, even Simeon and Anna there in the temple, and even the wise men? Why do they follow that star? Because of the promise of hope. Light brings hope. Secondly, light does the opposite of distorting. It brings the right perspective. It brings the right perspective. Darkness brought despair. We can't see clearly. And yet, what does hope bring us? It brings us perspective. And what is that perspective? That Jesus has come. That the perspective is the truth is Jesus understands where you are and what you're going through. Now, you may be able to say to somebody else in this world, you don't understand what I'm going through. You don't know my pain. You don't know my sorrow. You don't know my circumstances. And I would say very quickly to you, you're right, I don't. But I do know somebody who does. Because he came and was born as a baby, helpless, the Son of God, Mary holding the very hands that had flung the stars in place. She rubbed the bottom of the feet of the star walker, the one who had walked the universe. Teenager, you don't think that anybody understands you, teenager. Listen to me, sixth grader. Listen to me, teenager. Nobody understands you. Jesus understands you. He was a teenager. Mom and dad, grandparent, he understands where you are and what you're walking. Because the Bible says he understands everything that we go through. And that changes our perspective. Not only does he understand it, here's the great news. He's in control of all of it. And this is, I love this perspective. I need this reminder. Some of you might be like me. I don't know. But I'm good when life is out of control, as long as I'm in control of the out of control part. Right? I'm good if life's out of control as long as I'm at the steering wheel, right? My problem is when I'm in a car and I'm not in the steering wheel and it looks like things are about to go out of control, I get a little bit nervous. I tend to put my foot through the floorboard and want to give instructions and corrections of how somebody might need to avoid the situation. I like change. I have no problem with change as long as I'm one who initiated it and helps control it. Other than that, I'm good, right? What does that mean? That means that Romans 8:28 is true. It brings us hope. With the promise, it says that God promises to work all things together for your good, for those who know Christ and are called according to his purpose. You say, well, why is this happening? Why is this happening now? Why these circumstances? And the answer is, I don't always know. But I do know the one who does know. And I do know the one who makes a promise to you, a commitment that will bring you hope, that brings light to the darkness, that says, I will work it out for your good. And for those around you. Folks, that brings hope. That brings hope in pain. That brings hope in darkness. That brings hope to despair. So no matter where you are this morning, no matter where your friend or family member might be, you have the answer to bring them hope. Light brings perspective. Thirdly, light brings life. We can have a relationship with God. The opposite, what did he say? Doesn't bring life, it brings death. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. Now, is the Christian life perfect? Do you find Christ and all of a sudden become perfect and your life becomes perfect and everything works out exactly like you planned? Absolutely not. Teenager, you've got in your mind, teenagers I know, college students, we get this picture in our mind of what my life is going to be like and where I might live and who I might marry and how many kids I'm going to have. Adults, y'all remember that picture? Look around yourself and see. Did it turn out like you thought it would? Are you living where you thought you lived? Did you marry who you thought you were going to marry? And did all your circumstances turn out like you thought it would? But let me give you one hope and one promise. The God that you served when you were a college student or a teenager hasn't changed from that day until today. And his plan to bring you life and hope is still in play today. Thank you, God. Amen. Thank you, choir. That's a good news today. He's going to work it out. He's going to give you life. It brings you this next one, victory. It brings us victory. I do believe that Christians ought not to live in defeat, in despair, in depression. Are there seasons of those moments? Absolutely, yes. But I believe as a child of God, we are called to walk in victory. Why? Because the God whom we worship didn't just come and stay as a baby. Jesus came and lived a sinless, perfect life in the midst of a dark, dying, sin-filled world. And he took on the sins of you and me and died on a cruel, rugged cross over 2,000 years ago. And he didn't stay in that grave for 3 days. He arose again and conquered death, hell, and the grave and took the keys of death, hell, and grave and promises, if you believe in the hope of Christmas, you too can have victory in Jesus Christ. And listen, this is not all this world is about, by the way. Whether we think this world is just something that's easy, we get so attached to this world, don't we? Too often. Too often we get attached to this world and we forget God didn't make us for here. God made us for heaven and for a relationship with Him face to face. That is victory. So when you get down in the middle of that despair and depression, say, God, help me to see the light. Help me to see Jesus. And lastly, as we close, light brings opportunity. Light brings opportunity. It's that time of year we love to put up lights, Christmas lights, right? And lights are great until, right? What happens? The bulb breaks. And the promise, that wonderful promise, men, that we look at Walmart. A bulb breaks, it will continue to burn. Guaranteed. I'm buying that strand of bulbs. I'm drawing that strand of lights, especially on the pre-lit Christmas tree that I have in my house that is going out a strand at a time. It tends to turn one into Ebenezer Scrooge. I resisted the urge to take the blessed Christmas tree and throw it into the yard yesterday, but instead I didn't do that because I wanted to stay married. So I got up into the attic and I got out some more lights that are not permanently attached to the Christmas tree after sticking my fingers into the Christmas tree to change out the fuses to no avail. So maybe some wonderful electrician of you, Andy or Bobby or Ryan, can explain to me how it is that they don't work. Light brings opportunity. Sometimes it's an opportunity to do the good thing and not the Scrooge thing. What does light bring? What do we mean opportunity? Well, God tells the nation of Israel, watch this, don't miss this. God tells the nation of Israel through Isaiah that you're going to walk in darkness. Well, that sounds exciting, doesn't it? Hey, I'll announce to you, hey, good news, 2017 church family, you're going to walk in some darkness this year. I'm not a prophet, but I'll promise you, you know what? Some of you are going to walk in darkness in the year 2017. Do you hear me? All of us may not, but some of us are going to walk through some dark, dark days. And God says, in the middle of that darkness, I want you to be a light to the nations. That no matter how dark your life may seem, no matter how many questions you may have, no matter how difficult your life may be, that you are able to declare, even in the darkness, that God is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? My hope is in you. What is our call? Is our call to live, to get married, to have 2.2 kids, to live the happy life and have a 401k and retire on a golf course? Sounds like a great idea. Retire on a golf course, right? And just live out the rest of my life. Is that really your goal? Because I promise you, if that is your goal, you will never be full of hope and you'll never be who God called you to be. For God has called us to leave an everlasting impact to the nations, that the light has come. He didn't make you a light to not shine. He made you a light to shine, which is why we're so excited about the opportunity in 2017 to equip every single person in our church, every single person, to say, you know what, I'm not just going to be content just to do the church and the Christian and the Jesus thing. I want to be a disciple maker. I want to be a light. I want to be a part of being discipled and also discipling others. Why? So we can get the light out. J.I. Packer, the great theologian, in his book Knowing God, said this. Here it is, and I close. The Christmas message is that there is hope for a ruined humanity. Hope of a pardon, hope of peace with God, and hope of glory. Because at the Father's will, Jesus became poor and was born in a stable so that 30 years later, he might hang on a cross. My Christmas prayer for you, Petal First Baptist, Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him. Why? So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Darkness brings despair and depression and distortion and death. But light brings life and hope and peace and joy and victory and an opportunity. The question is, will you take hold of the light of life, the hope of Christmas? Would you pray with me this morning? God, I thank you for this incredible opportunity that you have given to every person that is here in this place. Lord, to hear the word of God proclaimed, to come and worship with the body of Christ. Lord, as we prayed at the outset, I pray it again that you would bless those who are struggling in darkness. That, Lord, they will be able to say, like Isaiah said, I have seen a great light. That they would see a light where they are. No matter what may be happening in their life, that you would remind them that you are the light. I pray for any person this morning that's never trusted Christ as Savior and Lord, they don't have hope. of eternal life and of victory and a place of security with you, that they would come this morning and say, I want to know Jesus. I want to admit to God that I'm a sinner, ask Him to forgive me of all of my sins, believe that He is the hope, that He came at Christmas, that He came and died for me, rose again, and I believe in such a way I want to place my life in His hands, to confess Him as my Savior, to commit my life to Him as Lord. For others to come and join this church family, I pray they have the courage to come. For others, maybe they need to go across this building because they know somebody is in darkness and in despair. And they would just say, you know what, I just want to pray over you that you'll experience the hope of Christmas. May we be sensitive, Lord, to that which you would call us to do. Because the invitation is for every single one of us to do business with you right now as we worship and adore your name. In Jesus' name we pray. I invite you to stand with me this morning. Chris and I are at the front to receive. This altar is open. Let us worship. Let us adore Christ. Let us respond right now. You come right now.